Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Avodah Zarah, perek Zayin. There are two mitzvot in this perek, the mitzvah aseh to destroy Avodah Zarah, and the mitzvah lo taseh against deriving any benefit, hana, from Avodah Zarah. Halacha Aleph. Mitzvat asehi la'abed Avodah Zarah u'meshamsheha v'chol ha'naseh bishvila. Shnamar abed ta'abdun et kol ha'mekomot asher avdusham ha'goyim, asher atem yorshimotam et Elohehem, al ha'harim haramim va'al ha'gevaot, v'tachat kol etz ra'anan. V'nemar, ki imko ta'asu lahem, mizbechotehem titotsu, umatzevotam tishaberu, v'asherehem tigadeun, ufsilehem tisrefun ba'esh. There is a mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah, as well as its mishamshim, which are utensils and other objects used in the service of Avodah Zarah, like cups, mats, candles, and the like. The source of this is two psukim, one in Parshat Re'eh and one in Parshat Vetchanan, which we read. We'll add here one relevant halacha from the next perek, perek Chet Halacha Vav, which is that the manner in which Avodah Zarah and its mishamshim should be destroyed is either by crumbling it and letting the wind blow it away, or by burning it and throwing it into a body of water like the Yam HaMelach, the Dead Sea, where it can be assumed that it will never be found. Continuing in Halacha Aleph, Uve'eretz Yisrael mitzvah lirdof achareah ad shenabed ota mikol arzenu, aval v'chutz la'aretz ein anu mitzuvin lirdof achareah, ela kol makom shenichbosh oto na'abed kol avodah zarah shebo, shenemar v'ibadetem et shemam min ha'makom ha'hu. Be'eretz Yisrael ata mitzuveh lirdof achareihem, ve'ein ata mitzuveh lirdof achareihem b'chutz la'aretz. There are two parts of the mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah. In Eretz Yisrael, we need to seek it out and eradicate it completely, whereas in chutz la'aretz, we need only destroy Avodah Zarah located in the places we conquer. The Gra explains in his comments on the Shulchan Aruch that Eretz Yisrael needs to be cleansed of Avodah Zarah, both in areas we control and in areas we don't. Chutz La'aretz, on the other hand, doesn't need to be cleansed, but we cannot tolerate the existence of Avodah Zarah in areas under our control. Halacha Bet. Avodah Zarah atzma u'mishamsheha v'tikrovet shala v'chol ha'naseh bishvila asur b'hana'a shnemar v'lo tavi toiva el beitecha v'chol ha'nene b'echad mikol elu lokesh daim achat mishum v'lo tavi toiva el beitecha v'achat mishum v'lo yidbak biyadcha mu'uma min ha'cherem. The Rambam moves on here to the Isser Hana from Avodah Zarah, which will be the topic of the rest of this perek and most of the next perek. This too applies to Avodah Zarah and its Mishamshim, and here the Rambam adds one more category of objects, namely Tikrovet, any offering made to an Avodah Zarah. Later in Halacha Yud, the Rambam adds that even if one of these objects is burned to ashes, the ashes are also Aser B'Hana. One gets two sets of malkot for benefiting from any of these items, one from the pasuk in Parshat Vetchanan of Velo Tavi Toiva El Beitecha, and the other from the pasuk we saw in Perek Dalid, which forbids Hana from the property of an Ira Nidachat, Velo Yidbak Biyadcha Mu'uma Min Achirim. Even though the first pasuk speaks of bringing the Avodah Zarah into your home, this is not necessary in order to get malkot. The pasuk seems to be a reformulation of the Isser Hana we already know from Velo Yidbak Biyadcha Mu'uma Min Achirim. But this psak of the Rambam is difficult in light of his general shita outlined in the ninth shoresh in the introduction to a Sefer Mitzvot, that even if the Torah mentions an Isser more than once, even in different words, that doesn't mean that someone who violates it gets multiple sets of malkot. It's possible to get two sets of malkot for one act, but only if that act represents a violation of two fundamentally different Isurim. To explain the Rambam's psak here, the Lecha Mishnah in Hilchot Macholot Asurot suggests that these two psukim really do represent different isurim. The pasuk from Ira Nidachat of V'lo Yidvak Biyadcha is a classic monetary Isser Hana from Avodah Zarah, similar to the Isser Hana from, say, Chametz on Pesach or Basar B'Chalav. The Isser of V'lo Tavi, which speaks of bringing the Avodah Zarah into your house, relates to the more amorphous idea of establishing a connection or having a relationship with the Avodah Zarah. It's a despised object, and we should be distancing ourselves from it, not drawing it close to us. So deriving benefit from Avodah Zarah earns two sets of malkot, one for the monetary benefit itself, and one for the connection established with the Avodah Zarah through deriving benefit from it. Halacha Gimel. Behemashi krivuha lavodah zarah, kula asura, afilu pirsha, v'atzmotea, v'karnea, utlafea, v'ora, hakol asur bahana'a. Here the Rambam clarifies that an animal offered to Avodah Zarah is forbidden in its entirety, not only the meat, but also parts like the bones, horns, and hide, which are not included in other contexts, like when it comes to eating a non-kosher animal or an avela, or even what parts of an avela are metame. The pasuk of Mu'uma min acherem, Mu'uma meaning any little bit, includes even these ancillary parts. Moving on to Halacha Daled, Ma bein Avodah Zarah shel Goy l'Avodah Zarah shel Yisrael. Avodah Zarah shel Nochri asura b'hana'a miyad. Shnamar p'silei Elohim tisrfun ba'ish. Misha psalo na'asalo Eloah. V'shel Yisrael eina asura b'hana'a ad shetei aved. Shnamar v'sam basater. Ad she'aseh la dvarim shebaseter. Shehein avodata. The Rambam distinguishes here between an idol made by a goy, which is asur b'hana'a as soon as it is made, because it stands ready to be worshipped, and that made by a Jew, which is only forbidden once it is actually worshipped. Poskim debate which of these dinim applies to an idol made by a Yisrael Mumar, a Jew who has abandoned Torah and worships Avodah Zarah, and this depends both on how we relate to a Mumar, which we discussed back in Perek Bet, and also on whether in this halacha there's really a distinction between Goy and Jew, or if it's just a matter of how likely the idol is to be worshipped. If it's a question of likelihood, then we will probably treat a Yisrael Mumar in the same way as we would treat a non-Jewish idolater. In contrast to idols, Mishamshim are in any event only Asurim Bahana once they are used, no matter who makes them. Later in the Perek, at the end of Halacha Tet, the Rambam writes that money given in exchange for Avodah Zarah, or Mishamshim or Tikrovet, is Asur Bahana just as the object for which it was exchanged. This is based on the Pasuk of V'hayita Cherem Kamohu, which is the continuation of the Pasuk of V'lo Tavit Toiva El Beitecha, which we saw earlier. In Halacha Hey, we find three interesting applications of and possible exceptions to this rule. The Halacha begins, Ha'oseh avodah zarah la'achirim, af al pi shu loke, scharo mutar. Va'filo asa uta legoi, shi asura miyad, mipnei she'ina neseret ad shetigamer. Umakosh ha'acharon shigomra, ein bo sheve pruta. If someone gets paid to build an idol for someone else, even though we saw in Perek Gimel that this is an avera of Elohim ha'sechalo ta'asu lachem, his pay is not asur b'hana. The reason for this is the principle of yeshna l'schirut mitchila v'ad sof. A worker earns his pay one moment at a time. So all of his pay is earned during the process of building when there isn't yet a completed idol. And therefore, the pay isn't considered payment for an idol. It's true that the last moment of work completes the idol, and so the payment for this action should really be asur b'hana as payment for an idol. But this last swipe of the hammer, which completes the idol, is worth less than a pruta, the smallest monetary unit in halacha. So even if that last bit should in theory be asur b'hana, it's too small an amount to become asur. Going on in the halacha, halokech gruta ot min hagoyim umatza behen avodah zarah, im natan ma'ot v'lo mashach, yachzirein lagoy. V'chein im mashach v'lo natan ma'ot, av al pi shemeshicha b'goy kona, kemekach ta'utu, mashach v'natan ma'ot yolicha liyam ha'melach. If someone buys scrap metal from a goy and finds Avodah Zarah in it, he can get his money back, only if he hasn't also taken the metal through an act of kinyan mashicha, pulling it toward him. If he did that, then he's stuck, because giving the idol back to the goy and getting his money back resembles selling the idol to the goy, and therefore the money resembles payment for an idol. In this case, he has to destroy the idol and lose his money. Completing the halacha, V'chein goy v'ger shiarshu et avihem goy, Yachol hu hager lomar lagoy, tol ata avodah zarah v'ani ma'ot, ata yainesech v'ani perot, v'im yishabau lirshut hager asur. The halacha ends with the interesting case of a ger and his non-Jewish brother who inherit their idolater father. The ger can arrange with his brother to take the idols, and he will get some other property instead. This isn't considered exchanging avodah zarah for the other property, which would make that property asur b'hana. The poskim explain that this works only because a ger doesn't inherit his father min haTorah, as he is considered unrelated to his old family. Ger shnitgayer kekatan shnolad dami. In a similar situation of a Jew who's shomer mitzvot and his mumar brother inheriting from their mumar father, where the inheritance is daraita, such an arrangement would be considered exchanging avodah zarah for other property. The brother who is shomer mitzvot would have no choice but to inherit the idols and destroy them. In Halachot Vav through Chet, which we'll summarize without reading inside, the Rambam discusses human images about which we don't know if they were made as idols or for artistic or decorative purposes. We need to determine based on where and what condition they are found whether it is more likely or not that they were made to be Avodah Zarah. A broken statue is permitted as there is a double doubt, a sfeik sfeika. Maybe it wasn't made as an idol in the first place, and even if it was, maybe it was broken in the act of nullifying it. We'll discuss what constitutes nullification or bittul of Avodah Zarah in Perek Chet. But if we know for sure it was made as an idol, then even if it is now broken, that is only one suffik, and so the broken pieces are aser b'hanah. Similarly, ordinary kalim like kitchen utensils or containers are permitted even if they have symbols of idolatry on them, as these are assumed to be decorative, unless the kli is an expensive one made from precious metal or expensive fabric, in which case we assume it to be meshamshe avodah zarah. Moving on to halacha tet, avodah zarah u'meshamsheha v'chol hatikrovet shela osrin b'chol shehen, ketzad, avodah zarah shnit arva b'tzurot shel noi, afilu achat bechama alafim yolicha kol liyam hamelach. V'chein im nita'arev kos shel avodah zarah bechama kosot o chaticha min habasar shnichnas leveita bechama chatichot yolicha kol liyam hamelach v'chein or levuv shnita'arev bechama orot hakol asur bahana'a. In this and the next halacha, the Rambam discusses a ta'arovet, a mixture of avodah zarah, an object belonging to any of the three forbidden categories, idols, meshamshim, and tikrovet, is not batel, nullified at all, even in a much larger mixture. Say, if one avodah zarah cup or ring falls into a pile of 1,000 ordinary identical objects, the entire pile is forbidden. However, the Rambam adds in Halacha Yud that if two of the items in the pile fall into the sea, we are allowed to assume that one of these was the forbidden one, and all the rest are permitted. We discussed earlier the heter of Sfeik Sfeika, and here too this applies in the middle of Halacha Yud. Safek Avodah Zarah Asur, Usfeik Sfeika Mutar, Ketzad, Koshel Avodah Zarah Shnafal Be'otzar Malei Kosot, Kulan Asurot. Mipnei sh'avodah zarah v'chol meshamshea osrin b'chol shehen. Parash kos echad minat harovet, v'nafal l'kosot shnayim, harei elu mutarin. If a cup of avodah zarah falls into some other cups, and then one cup from that tarovet, that mixture, falls into others, each cup in the second tarovet is permitted based on sfeik sfeika. The first suffik is whether the cup which fell from the first to the second tarovet was the forbidden cup, and the second suffik is whether the cup which the person now takes from the second tarovet is the one that fell from the first at all. The Ravid and the Shulchan Aruch both require, based on the Gemara, from which this psak comes, one additional step of a cup falling from the second into a third tarovet. This is difficult to understand, but when we get to Hilchot Macholot Asurot, we'll see a case where the Rambam himself requires that, and we'll discuss this further at that point. We'll summarize the dinim of the asherah, which the Rambam brings in Halachot Aleph through Yadalid. An asherah is either a tree planted for the purpose of being worshipped itself, or a tree under which an idol has been placed so it can be worshipped there. One may not stand in the shade of an asherah and not even walk under it unless there is no other way to get to where one is going, in which case one should run under it. Wood from an asherah may not be used to heat an oven, and any loaf of bread baked in an oven heated by asherah wood is forbidden to eat. If that loaf mixes with others, then the mixture is permitted after one throws away money equal to the cost of one loaf, so that he does not benefit from the forbidden loaf. Note that throwing away money does not help to permit a mixture of actual avodah zarah, like in Halacha Tet, but the din of this loaf is more lenient because its iser hanah is only because of how it was made. It is not itself an object of avodah zarah. It is permitted to plant vegetables under an asherah, even though the shade of the asherah helps them to grow, based on the principle of ze vize goring. The vegetables grow not only because of the shade of the asherah, but also because of the soil and the ground, which is permitted. Moving on to halacha tetvav, basar o yayin o peirot shechinum lehakrivam avodah zarah lo nesru bahana, af al pi shechnisu otam levet avodah zarah ad shiakrivum lefaneha. Hikrivum lefnei avodah zarah naasu tikrovet va'af al pi shechazru v'hotziyum hare elu asurin la'olam. V'chol hanimtza bevet avodah zarah afilu mayim v'melach asur bahana'a min ha'torah v'ochel menu kol shehu lokeh. The Rambam clarifies here what constitutes tikrovet avodah zarah. It's not enough that this object was prepared as a tikrovet. It only becomes asur bahana'a when it is actually brought to the idol, at which point it stays asur even if it subsequently is taken out. In Halacha Tetzayin, he goes on to say that clothes or money found in front of an idol are prohibited only if they seem to have been placed there as a tikrovet, not if it was placed there in a degrading manner, for example, a utensil or piece of clothing placed on the idol's head. This doesn't apply, however, to a shrine for some idol in which everything is forbidden, even if it seems to have been put there in a degrading manner. Moving on to Halacha Yud Zayin, Avodah Zara Shahyala Mirchatz Ogina Nehenin Bahen Shelo Betova Ve'ei Nehenin Bahen Betova Hayala Vela Achirim Nehenin Bahen Vafilu Betova Takumarin Ubilvad Shelo Yitain Sachar. This halacha discusses use of a bathhouse. If there is a bathhouse or garden located in the temple of an idol or its courtyard, one may benefit from them as long as this does not involve paying money or owing a favor to the temple. In the next halacha, the Rambam adds that if an idol is located in a public bathhouse, then one may still bathe there, as the idol is assumed to be decorative. The assumption is that if the statue were really treated as an idol, then its worshippers wouldn't put it in a place where people appear naked in front of it and even urinate upon it. But of course, if the usual manner of worshipping this idol is to bathe in front of it, then it would be forbidden to bathe in that bathhouse, unless the typical manner of worshipping that idol is to bathe in front of it. The perek ends in Halach Yotet with the din of a knife, which is Meshamish Avodah Zarah. May one use this knife at all? It is permitted to use it to shecht a healthy animal, as this reduces the value of the animal, and thus isn't considered hana. Prior to Shechita, an animal can do work and produce offspring, but after Shechita, it can only be eaten. But if the animal is near death and no good for anything but to shecht and eat it, then shechting is a form of hana, and thus it would be usur to use a Meshamish Avodah Zarah knife to shecht this kind of animal. Similarly, this knife can't be used to cut meat in a normal manner, which makes the meat more usable or edible, but can be used to cut meat in a destructive manner. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.